God bless you, saints, where you stand. Let's turn to Psalms 92, if you will. Praise the Lord. The psalmist says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire upon mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat with the flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Heavenly Father, our souls are made glad, Lord, only by you. And Father, we are so grateful to have this glorious privilege of entering into the house of the Lord. Lord, back into your presence, Lord, with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. We're so grateful, Lord God, that you led us here and that, Lord, you granted traveling mercies to us, Lord. And we ask that you be with our brothers and sisters who are still on their way. Father, be with them, keep them, and protect them as they come, Lord. And may you pour down rain, Lord, your fresh anointing upon us this morning, Lord God, as we empty out our vessels, Lord God. Oh, Father, just have complete preeminence in this service. Bless, Lord, all that's said and done. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's glad to be in the house of the Lord. Oh, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, oh pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, oh Lord, for you. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, yeah, with thanksgiving, Lord, I'll be a living sanctuary. Oh Lord, for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together. I surrender all to you, withholding nothing. To you, everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Lord, I surrender all to you, Lord. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding, oh Lord, withholding nothing, I give you all of me, you all of me, I give you all of me, I give you all of me, I give you all of me, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, no, no, withholding nothing, holding nothing. Lord, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's worthy. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together. We'll sing a few verses. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Amen. That's where I've learned to give my all to Him. You know, that's where I learned to surrender. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, and free to all a healing stream, it flows from Calvary's mountain. Oh, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory. Until my raptured soul shall find its rest beyond the river, the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me there, the bride and morning star, it sheds its beams around me, saying, in the cross, oh, in the cross, be my glory ever, until my raptured soul shall find its rest beyond the river. Oh, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory. Yeah. my rapture soul shall find its rest beyond the river. Till my raptured soul shall find its rest beyond the river. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Yes, what a mighty God we serve. Will angels bow before him? Heaven and earth adores him. What a mighty God we serve. Come on, let's sing it again. Well, what a mighty God we serve. Yes, what a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. What a mighty God. Amen. Let's put a name on our God. Jesus is the God. Yes, Jesus is the God we serve. Yes, Jesus is the God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. Jesus is the God. One more time. Jesus is the God we serve. Well, Jesus is the God we serve. Yes, Jesus is the God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. Jesus is the God. Amen. Sing it like this. Well, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Well, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Well, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Well, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Oh, give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Will keep me burning till the break of day. Come on, let's sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King. Up, King, come on, let's sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of
Well, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Yes, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Oh, keep me burning till the break of day. Come on, let's sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Come on, let's sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King. Come on, let's sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Come on, let's sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a few specials this morning. You may have your seats. Sister Charisse, God bless you. Will you come up? Praise the Lord.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I'm yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin will look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, I'm here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm and you told me who I am. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Oh, oh, I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. You catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. Oh, I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I'm yours, I'm yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I'm yours.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Sister Rachel.
God bless you.
Waters, but it will be yours.
Praise the Lord. Faith is the victory. Have faith in God. Amen. We have a few prayer requests this morning. One from Brother Daniel says, please pray for traveling mercies. I will be going to Texas on Wednesday, so we want to keep Brother Daniel in prayer. Also, my mother called me this morning, my grandmother. She fell, and Sister Sherelle just wrote it. All right, from Sister Sherelle says, please pray for my grandmother, Hattie Williams. She is 91 years old. She fell this morning and hit her head. She's presently in the hospital going through further testing. And they just sent me pictures of her, and she has a big knot on her forehead right there. So we want to remember Grandma this morning. Amen. We want to continue to pray for one another. Amen. We love and need one another. In this hour, we need them more and more. Amen. You have any announcements up here, sister? Well, go ahead and do that, and we'll have the brethren come. Amen. On Tuesday, it'll be Naomi's birthday. Praise the Lord. From the time I met her, I always called her the fair damsel. So my fair damsel is, she's still fair, just as lovely as she is to me. Praise the Lord. Service Friday night. Also February 26, 6:30, Boynton Beach Church Combined Fellowship. So we all want to be a part of that. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? We'd like to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up the offering. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Brother Caleb, will you come at this time? Take these requests before the Lord.
Lord, we thank you just for another day that you've given us. Just to be able to be in your presence one more time and just to, Lord, feel your anointing just around us, Lord. And Lord, we ask as we just bring these prayer requests, Lord, before you, Lord, as our brother Daniel will be traveling to Texas, Lord God. He's been so faithful here, Lord God, and no doubt the travels, Lord God, will open up new opportunities for our brother, Lord. And we ask that you just would, Lord God, just keep him safe, Lord, as he's there, Lord, and give him favor, Lord, as he's, Lord, around, Lord, the people that he's around, Lord God. And may, Lord, you just continue to open up doors and make ways for him, Lord. And, Lord, our sister that took the fall, Lord God, and hit her head, Lord, we know that the head, Lord God, is a serious place to hit, Lord God, for that's where everything, Lord, functions, Lord. And we ask that you just would just touch her, Lord, with a mighty hand, Lord. And just, Lord, if the enemy tries to come in, Lord God, and just disrupt anything, we ask that you just would stay his hand, Lord, and just, Lord, give her a speedy recovery that she may, Lord, come out, Lord God, of the situation. All is well, Lord God, before the fall, Lord. And we ask that you just would bless today's tithes and offering, Lord God. You've given us, Lord, these funds that, Lord God, that we're able to pay our bills and meet our needs, Lord God, and fulfill our desires. But, Lord God, you've also given it to us, Lord God, that we can, Lord, invest back into, Lord, your kingdom, Lord God. And as we give back to you, may you just, Lord, just replenish us, Lord God, and also just continue to bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just want to thank you, Lord. Come on, let's say it again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Somebody tell him thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. He made a way. Oh, you made a way. Yes, you did. Oh, Lord, say. You made a way. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Can we sing one more time? Thank you, Lord.
Well, thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Trials of this world is getting closer. Fell was more than I could bear. I was in the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Let's sing it again. 'Cause something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Let's sing that second verse.
Now Satan lays before me his temptation. His desire to steal away my faith. But I found in the revelation the strength I need to keep me in His grace. 'Cause something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. He's a reality. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding. He's reality. He's a reality, 'cause Jesus keeps holding me.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to ask our pastor to come at this time. Amen. Let's sing this little song together. Going up yonder. Amen. Where I am going, where I am going, oh, soon. And if you wanna know where I am going, where I am going, oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. I can take the pain, the heartache they bring, the comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. God gives me grace, I'll run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. My Lord, sing, oh, I'm going in the rapture. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Come on, put your hands on it. Sing, oh, I'm going in the rapture. Yeah. Going in the rapture. Going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Hey, yes, I am. Going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. Oh, going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Hey, one of these mornings it won't be long. Going in the rapture. Between 6 and 9. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. Yes, I am. To be with my Lord. Hey, going up yonder. Going up yonder. Going up yonder. Oh, going up yonder. To be with my Lord. Hallelujah. I know I am going up yonder. Hey, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, going up yonder. I believe and I'm going
up yonder. Hey, I come from God, going back to God. Hey, to be with my Lord. Yes, I am. Hey, going up yonder. Going up yonder. Hey, I'm going up yonder. Hallelujah. Hey, one more time. Say, I'm going up yonder. Going up yonder. Oh, going up yonder. Hey, to be with my. See, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Hey, I'm going up yonder. Yes, I am, to be with my Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, see, I'm going in the rapture. Going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Oh, somebody worship him in this place. Somebody praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Turn around and greet somebody. Say, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. Man, I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My God, my God. You can be seated just for a little bit. Amen. Amen. God is good, ain't he? God is good. Amen. Well, how many came to church with a loud voice? Loud voice. Amen. God been too good to be too quiet. Right. Amen. We thank the Lord to be back in his presence. Amen. Once more. Sister Shaquanza Mays, is that right? All right, so good to have you with us on today. Amen. God bless you. This is Taina. See you. God bless you. So good to see you. Amen. Ain't seen you since last year. Happy New Year to you. So good to see you. Amen. You all keep Sister Taina's mother in prayer. She had a little surgery there and just been having some complications, but just continue to keep her in prayer that God would just touch her body. Glad. Amen. Glad to see you. And I see Taj back there. I was just thinking about him in the office. I hadn't seen him in a while either. Have I seen y'all since last year? You came, all right. Well, Happy New Year to you, Taj. Hey, man, it's good to see them today. Amen. In the house of the Lord. The announcements. One of the announcements that was made, did we make them? Okay. There's a meeting there at Brother Gene's that's coming up next month, the last Sunday of next month, 6:30. We have Brother Wesco just kind of threw it out there that, you know, maybe we ought to keep this thing going with the churches that get together and fellowship, and, you know, on Sunday nights. And so Brother Wesco and Brother Gene have been talking about it, and they asked me, they said, well, Brother Jack, do you want to host the first get together? And I say, Brother Wesco and Brother Gene, I really appreciate y'all offering that. But, brother, we ain't got enough room for 400 or 500 people. I'll just be honest with you. I know we don't have that kind of room. They'll shut us down, the fire department. But I say, but, you know, we don't have a problem coming to be a part of what you all are doing, since God has blessed you all with the building to be able to support it. Y'all let us know when it's going to happen, and we'll be there. You know, we want to be a part of what's going on. And so Brother Gene said, well, I'll be the first one to host it, amen, this year. So they're going to be doing that. And it's just, I'm going to tell you something. That's something very special, because not many churches around nowhere have fellowship like that, right? So I'm glad to be a part of something. I think it's an opportunity for us to set an example for so many others, and just praying that God would just bless our efforts. So Brother Gene said, well, which one of y'all gonna preach? I say, Brother Gene, whoever you want to preach, it don't matter, brother. We just want to come and, you know, just be a part of the service. So he say, okay, Brother Jack, you gonna preach? I say, okay, brother, I'll be there. You know, praise the Lord. But amen. But on that night, we actually have Pinnacle Palms. You know, I didn't tell them that, but we do have Pinnacle Palms, and following Pinnacle Palms, we'll be rushing down there to try to be a part of the service. And amen. So I'm just kind of letting everybody know, if you can just put it in your calendar, and if you can come, amen, just to be a part of it. And not because I'm speaking, amen, that's always good to have some of the church there, because you all are used to my ministry. But you know, but anytime we're getting together like this, it would be so good just to have the saints there. We don't have to wait till July to have a special meeting. We can do it anytime we want to, and I just encourage us, let's just continue to do, amen, what we can to support, amen, one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's all I need to announce. Thank y'all, musicians. Y'all did all right. I was expecting to hear Brother Troy today a little bit. Yeah, bring it on out. I heard him practice another night. I thought y'all had him ready to go. Amen. Yeah, I tell you what, man, it's time for elevation. It's elevation in so many ways, and I'm under expectation for it. I thank God for the specials. I heard Sister Rachel, I believe, and Sister Charisse, God bless you all. Thank you so much for your songs. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I am going to read a couple scriptures, and some of you all probably have, I mean, it's been years. I preached a sermon years ago, and I can't even tell you when I preached it, but I know that I had preached it, but I know preaching it again, it'll preach different, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to our hearts, amen, in this season of our lives. But I'm going to read two scriptures from the book of John this morning. I'll ask everyone to stand that can stand. And we'll go to John chapter 1. We'll also go to John chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Man, John chapter 1. And I'll start reading here, verse 19. I guess I didn't write that down. I'm sorry. I wrote verse 26, but verse 19 is where I want to start from. It says this, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Amen. And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not." Now, based on our understanding, we know John was Elijah. Jesus actually identified him as Elijah, right? But John actually tells them, "I am not." He says, "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." And I think the reason that this is in scripture is because Brother Adam says sometimes you have to kind of throw people off to see how they're going to identify things, right? You know, they got questions, but really what answer are they looking for, right? So he kind of throws them off a little bit. Now, John knows who he is, and he's going to come and give them an answer which is actually his answer is going to be actually fulfilling scripture and what he's saying to them. But he throws them off just a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. But as a believer, you got to be able to identify with scripture where things are. You got to put the pieces together. People ain't going to make it so easy for you. You got to put it together yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, verse 22 says, then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He got them messed up. Right. Man, who are you? We know it's something special about you, but we need to know from your mouth. Who are you? We don't want to try to figure this out. Tell us who you are. Well, John gives him an answer. Verse 23 says, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So he said, my ministry is actually fulfilling the word. And that was Malachi 3, but he didn't identify himself in Malachi 4. Jesus did that part, right? Verse 24 says, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? Right? Neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Let's go over to John chapter 3. Amen. John chapter 3. And here we'll start at verse 26. Amen. In John chapter 3. Praise the Lord. And it says this, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land. I'm reading verse 22. I'm sorry. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just have a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we are certainly appreciative of the opportunity that we have to read the word of the Lord, but we know it takes the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what it is that we're reading. So God, my prayer today is that you would quicken revelation to our hearts. The most important thing that we can get when we go to church, more than a shout, more than a jump, more than an emotion, the most important thing we can get is a revelation of not only who you are, but a revelation of who we are. So, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts even now as we enter into this thought. We take control underneath the Holy Spirit. Every spirit that's against the Spirit of God, we take it under the control of the Holy Spirit. Bring revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Our title, amen, for today is Behold the Lamb of God Coming in Glory. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God Coming in Glory. I love the way that this is kind of put together, just a couple of these scriptures that we're reading here. But there in John 1, we can see that the people are looking a little confused as to who John is. They have leaders that are trying to send them to get some instruction and some understanding on, hey, who is this guy, John? You know, we know that the scripture says certain things are supposed to happen, and we just want to know. We haven't heard him come out and declare, you know, himself as to who he is. So y'all put some pressure on him and try to get him, amen, get him to answer, you know, the question. And John just kind of, you know, kind of dodging, you know, some of the questions and things of that nature. But when he finally comes out, you know, and they ask him in verse 22, then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? When they finally pinned him down, John gave an answer that identified who he was in the scripture. And I believe that we as a people are coming to a place in our own spiritual journey that we're going to have to be able to identify who we are according to the scripture. Amen. You act strange. You dress strange. You look strange. You know, there's something about you and I don't understand it. I mean, what church you go to? What kind of things are they preaching over there? What is it that y'all believe? What is this, you know, that y'all standing on? I think we get to a point where we have to identify ourselves in the scripture. Praise God. I can tell you right now before, you know, I get there, but I can tell you this right now. I'm not like everybody else. Amen. I'm different and I'm glad to be different. I'm happy that God made me different. Right. I can tell you another thing about me that you might not know. I come from God and I'm going back to God. Amen. I'm not of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I come from another world. I came from eternity, stepped down into time, but one day I'm leaving. I'm going back to eternity again. Hallelujah, somebody. I know who I am. It's time for us to identify ourselves in scripture. Amen. But John had, you know, John told him, said, look, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Isaiah. So I love the way he identified himself. And first he's saying, you know, I'm the voice that comes before the Messiah. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ, but I am the voice that comes before the Messiah. John could identify himself like that. Hallelujah. I'm the one that comes before the Messiah. So and can you imagine, just put yourself on the scene. Here John is being cornered. Here John is being questioned. Here John, you know, is being approached by all these people trying to get some, you know, get some understanding. And then he identifies himself. And the very next day that John, after he identifies himself, here comes the Lamb of God. Amen. The very next day, Jesus come walking up pretty much saying, John, don't worry. I got your back. I know they think they got you cornered, but I got your back. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. So John, it's all right. Everything's good. Don't worry about it. You know, John even got to a little pot. He looked at him and say, now, you know what? I know you're coming to me to be baptized, Jesus, but I really have need to be baptized of you. He said, I mean, cause, and John, now, you know, I think about it because, you know, here all of us are coming from, you know, eternity, and we step down into time. And as I was just kind of thinking about it, when you kind of come out, like coming out the womb, you have no idea what this world is about, right? I mean, you just come out and you reaching for this and grabbing for that and doing this and trying to open your eyes and, hey man, it's stuff happening that you ain't used to. Right? Amen. You trying to get accustomed to this. And that's the way I feel like a son of God. I know who I am. Now I know who I was born. I know who my daddy is. Right? I know all those things, but I'm trying to get a grip on how I'm supposed to handle certain things. You know, how do I deal with this and how do I deal with that? But you know, Lord, how am I supposed to handle this? Because I know as a son of God, I'm not going to be defeated. Hallelujah, sir. I know that. I know defeat is not an option. Amen. Giving up and quitting, not options when it comes to the children of God. So, you know, I begin to like, Lord, now how you want me to handle this and what you want me to do here and how should I speak? And, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to figure this thing out like a little baby coming out the womb, trying to figure this thing out. But as I come to church, and the more I come to church and the more that I hear, amen, of who I am according to scripture, I begin to get a little bit more confidence in myself. Amen. And I'm glad that, you know, I went to church one day and I heard a sermon, amen, that I didn't have to cry about my problems anymore. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I can stop crying about it. Everybody else crying, but I had something on the inside of me that I could change it. Because I'm an amateur God. I am a son of God, which makes me an amateur God. So if my God can speak, my daddy can say, let there be, then his son can also say, let there be. Because the same genes that was in my daddy, they're inside of me. So I ain't have to cry no more. I can start speaking. Amen. I realize that, you know, I'm starting to understand there's something more to this picture here. There's something. I always knew I'd been strange, but I just didn't know why I was strange. Come on, somebody. I always knew I was a strange bird. Amen. I was hanging in this chick. I don't know how I got placed in this chicken coop. They didn't tell me nothing. I mean, they did not adopt me. Right? I end up misplaced. I'm in a chicken coop. They down here cluck-clucking, but I'm screaming. When my mouth opened up, amen, I don't want to eat the stuff that they eating. I don't enjoy the food that they have. They satisfied with a shout. They satisfied with a jump. They satisfied with a choir that ain't living right. They satisfied with a preacher that's telling them one thing in the pulpit, but doing something else outside the pulpit. They satisfied with that. They ain't thinking about leaving their church. They want to stay right there because that's where mama was. But for me, I say, no. There's got to be more than this. I always knew I was strange. I always knew I was different, but I didn't understand who I was until one day I heard the mother eagle scream. And when mama eagle came flying by and she began to scream, I'd say, what is that? I never heard preaching like that. I never heard singing like that. I never heard nothing like that. What is that? And when I saw mama flying by, I said, I belong up there. Not down here with chickens. I've been long up there, but I didn't know how to get there. But mama began to encourage me, say, just flap your wings. Oh, just flap. I tell you what, you just take one good flap, and when you flap, watch the wind. It'll just let you just catch the wind and just sail on that wind. You ain't got to worry about nothing else. And man, I took my jump one day, and I've been sailing ever since. But, you know, John could identify himself in the scripture, and which I believe is very important for us as the people of God to get to a spot where we identify ourselves in scripture. I'm not defeated. I'm not lost. Actually, I can't be lost. The life that I have on the inside of me, I can't even die. I can no more die than God can die. Because I got the life of God living on the inside of me. You understand? Amen. I mean, I never heard things like that before. I thought when it was dead, it was just over. No, man. I got so much more to look forward to. Right? You know, but when we begin to identify ourselves in the Word of God, amen, we have a different position about ourselves, right? We approach life a little differently when we can understand who we are. Amen. Now, as John, you know, told him that who he was, and then here comes Jesus showing up the next day and saying, you know, John, don't worry, I got this. And John was even trying to figure out who Christ was. He didn't know. Now, the way that he found out, God told him, say, now that the person that you see the Spirit ascending on and abiding on, that's the one that I've chosen. So John looked and he saw the Spirit like a dove. It didn't say it was a dove, just like a dove, right? So the Spirit, like a dove, come and settle down on Jesus. And when John saw the Spirit settle down on Jesus, he said, this is the one. Say, the one I've been telling y'all about, there he is right there. My God, my God, my God. So here we get to John 3, and here go the people of the church. And here they come up, say, now, you know, we was down there ask you all them questions. And the very next day, you had baptized this one guy. And when you baptize him, now he turn around, he baptizing people. And here's the thing that I want to make sure you get. Do not allow, I love the way John did it, because this is the way we got to do it. Don't you allow the spirit of jealousy to enter into the church. Right? John said, didn't I tell y'all that I was not the Christ, that we should be looking for one? And the one that I was telling about, that's him. So I'm just as happy about him baptizing as I am about me baptizing. And the way they put it, say everybody going to his church. Everybody want to be baptized by this man. John, they're not coming to you no more. John say, I told y'all I must decrease. And he's going to increase. And I want to tell you something. In your own personal life, it's time for you to decrease. Stop being who you are. It's time for you to decrease and let Jesus increase in your life. Let him have preeminence. Let him have control. Let him dominate you. Let Jesus do it. My God, my God. Amen. I'm looking at these things and Lord help us, God. I want to kind of hit a couple things for you today. But here, you know, John says something very, very important that we will get to here in a second. He says two things that we read in the scripture. One was, behold the Lamb of God who cometh to take away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who cometh to take away the sins of the world. But I titled this something different. I didn't title it what John said, because that was for the first coming of Christ. But we're living in the day where we can expect the second coming of Christ. And in the second coming of Christ, amen, my title has changed. It says, behold the Lamb of God coming in glory. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. My. Now, I mean, I just can't make that up. At some point in time, I got to show you where I got that thought from. Right? Because, you know, look, you can go to church and people can have all kind of thoughts that they just presenting. We're not looking for that. Right? I mean, we just don't want just thoughts just presented. We don't want someone to stimulate our intellect. What we need is somebody to stimulate the seed on the inside of our heart to let us know where we come from. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So if you would bear with me, amen, we will just kind of work our way to find out how we get to that. You know, why would you title it, behold the Lamb of God coming in glory, when John said specifically, behold the Lamb of God who cometh to take the sins of the world. Now, I believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. I believe that. But John was introducing him at his first coming. But if you go back and read your Bible, according to Malachi 4, amen, there was supposed to be another Elijah. So when John said that he was not Elijah, Malachi 4 tells us that he was Elijah. Jesus himself actually said he was Elijah. But then Jesus also said that Elijah shall truly first come and restore all things. So that's another Elijah that's going to come, another person with the spirit of Elijah. Malachi 4 tells us that there would be two anointings of Elijah that would come. One would come to turn the heart of the fathers back to the children. John the Baptist fulfilled that. Jesus said he fulfilled that. But there'd be another Elijah would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and his job would be to turn the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And all that means is that his job is to get our hearts turned back to the word of God. Amen. Not intellect, not any of that, but what does the word say? What does the Bible say? And let me tell you something. People would not need all these new Bibles if they would just take what a prophet said. Hallelujah, somebody. All right. Let me just work through this just a little bit if I can. I want to read from this message, Proving His Word. Amen. Y'all just stay with me here. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. So here, you know, it says... Now we say he's raised from the dead. I didn't say it. The word here said it. They said he raised from the dead. He says he's the same yesterday, and forever. You believe that he promised these things to happen in the last day, that the same Son of Man will be made manifest. It says, now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. Now what we're seeing here is when Abraham sat, amen, there in the tent, and he got the calf and all the food ready to serve these three visitors that came to visit him there in the book of Genesis. And as Abraham was just kind of getting things ready, this was right before the destruction of Sodom. Glory to God. Right before the destruction of Sodom, here these three visitors showed up at Abraham's house. And when they show up, you know, Sarah is in the tent behind Abraham. And he says, you know, one of the visitors says, Abraham, you know, at the time of life, I'm going to visit you. And Sarah, your wife, will have a child. Now, Sarah was well up in age and had not had any children for Abraham all that time. So why would they believe that they're going to have a child now? The reason they believe then is because God said so. Amen. And it's the same thing for you. Maybe something has never happened. And you might feel like, man, I don't know when it's got. But if God give you a promise, amen, you can stop looking at what has never happened. If God give you the promise, it's going to come to pass because God said so. And I'm going to tell you, whether you believe it or not, it's still going to come to pass. So here, you know, Sarah's sitting there, she laughing, and while this visitor is sitting there, amen, at Abraham's tent, he had his back to the tent. And when he made the promise and Sarah heard it, Sarah laughed, he said, now why is Sarah laughing in the tent? Now, how did he know what was going on? That was a discernment that was taking place, and he picked up on what Sarah was doing in the tent. He had discernment. Right. And so now what we're reading here is that when that occurred, that wasn't Jesus in the flesh. But it was God manifesting himself in some flesh. But it wasn't Jesus because Jesus had not been born yet. But it was God manifesting himself in flesh. If God can manifest in flesh, in flesh in Abraham's day, God can also manifest himself in flesh today. And it don't have to be Jesus. It could be Jesus in you. Oh, glory, somebody. Amen. It can be Jesus inside of you when you yield yourself to him, yield everything that you got to the Lord Jesus. Then he can use your hands. He can use your mouth. He can use your body. He can use you once you yield yourself to him. Amen. Glory to God. So now we go on here a little further. And if I could just inject also, see, because Jesus made a comment. He says in the days, you know, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So when we look back in Scripture and we see some of the things that happened in the days of Lot, then we have to also look for those same things to be occurring on the earth at the time that Jesus is going to come again. Oh, one of the big things in the days of Lot was homosexuality. That was huge. Amen. That was why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, because of homosexuality. Now you tell me, if God allowed, amen, if he did not allow Sodom and Gomorrah to get away with their sin, America ain't going to get away with hers either. Amen. Amen. I mean, I know, you know, they telling people they got to be politically correct and all that. No, we're going to be biblically correct. Biblically correct. Not PC, BC. Biblically correct. Amen, church, right? Amen. I mean, this not something that we spoke against. It's something God spoke against, and he destroyed because of it. But before destruction happened, he pulled his people out. See, that's why the church ought to be looking for a rapture. Before destruction come on this earth, we are going in a rapture. Church, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. I ain't going to be here suffering with everybody else. God got better plans for me. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Hey, glory to God. I'm happy about it, church. Amen, amen, amen. So if we see those things in Scripture, we can see history repeating itself all over again. Amen. I mean, you bump into it every day. You see it every day, and sometimes you see it like, oh, my. That just gets you. All over the televisions. Right? You can't watch nothing, right, without seeing something crazy. And you, oh Lord, help me, God. And you got your kids there looking at that type of stuff. And your kids don't know no better. But they will sow that type of stuff inside your kids' mind where they think that thing is normal. Huh? And the only time they hear it's not normal is when they come to church. And that's when they get here. Because they don't get here all the time. You got a job to do at home to teach them about the things of God. And not only teach them, you can't be sitting there watching it. Praise the Lord. Sitting there watching it, then gonna try to change the channel and say that ain't right. Them kids gonna go right back to that channel with your TiVo in your house. They're gonna go right back and they're gonna watch that and they're gonna become immune to it. And then later on they grow up and you see that spirit in them, like, I thought I taught you better. Maybe you didn't. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look, church, we got a job to do. We got to stay with this word. We got to know who we are. And I can tell you right now, we're Christians. Amen. You know what a Christian is? One that follows Christ. Amen. Everybody else coming out the closet, I'm coming out. I'm a Christian. Amen. And you know what? You got to be tolerant with me. I'm a Christian, and you have to tolerate me in everything I believe. Because I'm tolerating you in everything you believe. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Amen. Maybe I ought to put something on YouTube Live. I just want to let everybody know I'm a Christian. I believe everything the Bible said. Y'all stay with me. Let me keep going. My God, my God, my God. All right, listen. He says, now remember that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born, but it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the great almighty. Showing, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, not no more as a church, see, not no more. The bride is called, see, in that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the word. He is the word. And the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united, see? We go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Important that we get to understand that. We go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Let me just inject, and I'll read the rest of this in a second. If we're going to the wedding supper and not to the marriage, the question is, where did the marriage take place? Right? If we're going to the wedding supper, that means, you know, the wedding supper would be the reception. Yeah. Right? The rapture is actually taking us to the reception. Yeah. Yeah. You understand? The rapture is taking us to the reception. There's 3.5 years of tribulation, but we will be in the reception. Amen. Enjoying ourselves at the reception. The wedding supper. That's where the bride will be during the 3.5 years of tribulation. So if the bride is going to catch a rapture, amen, and then go to the wedding supper or the reception, then where did the marriage take place? Because I've never seen people go to a reception without getting married. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Amen. You can pull it down, sis. Amen. If you've seen that, I mean, help me, because I ain't never seen that. Typically, before people invite you to a reception, amen, even if you get an invitation, we want you to come to this reception. Two people inviting us to the reception, the first thing you're going to ask, well, when did they get married? That's the first thing. I mean, especially if the reception comes years later. Like, well, when did they get married? Nobody knew that they got married. Well, they got married in the pastor's office. You didn't know that. But, you know, everybody want to know, amen, if I'm going to get invited to a reception, then I want to know when the marriage took place. And here I'm telling you in this quote that we are, when the rapture takes place, we are going to the wedding supper, amen, or the reception, because the marriage already took place. Right. Oh, my God, my God. Now, I'm going to read something for you in a second here. I'll answer that question. Let me just finish this quote, and then I'll answer that question for you. When did the marriage take place? All right, so. Again, it says this, the bride, and she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. See, we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Fill your flesh, yourself of all flesh of mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb is come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper, when the word here unites with the person and they become one. And then what does it do then? Right. So when the word here unites with the person and they become one. Amen. That's actually when the marriage is taking place. When you have actually opened up your heart to receive all the word of God, not just the part that you like, but when you open up your heart to receive all the word of God, the marriage is just taking place. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You will never be able to receive all the word of God. Amen. If you were not already all the word of God. Can I say it again? You would never be able to receive all the word of God if you were not already all the word of God. All right, let me keep going. Amen. It says, then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again, not the church theologians, the Son of Man. The word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the word. The church does the same thing. Now, let me go on a little further here, because I just want to kind of share with you who you are. We know John identified himself, but now it's time for us to identify ourselves. Give me this out of Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ. Now, think about that, what I just said. The sermon that the prophet preached was the invisible union of the Bride of Christ. That means people didn't see it happening. Amen. It was invisible. But it occurred right here. That's why, you know, that's why we can say, look, when we leave here in the rapture, we're going to the wedding supper. But here, the marriage has already taken place. When you have opened up and received all the word of God, that's when the marriage took place. Oh, my God. You know, when a young lady, and I'm going to get to this in a second, but when a young lady has accepted a proposal from a young man, we were talking about this a little early in Sunday school, And I'm going to just say this while I got y'all attention. Young lady, you better not ever get on your knee asking no young man to marry you. And young man, if a young lady come get on her knee asking you to marry her, you better run from her. If you ain't never said no in your life, I ain't want to embarrass her. Embarrass her. Are you crazy? No. You done lost your mind. I mean, ask me to marry you? No, something is wrong with that. Young man, don't you ever feel, amen, that you, you know, that you've accomplished something when you get a young lady that can take care of you? Huh? Amen. That now God made you to take care of her. She is your helpmate, not you being her helpmate. We got to get back to the Bible. I'm talking about taking all the word. When we go back to all the word, it's going to go against all society. But we're trying to be like Jesus here. Amen. We don't take care of Jesus. He takes care of us. That's the picture that you got to get. When you get husband and wife, always think about Christ in the church. He gave his life for us. A man ought to be willing to give his life for his wife. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. And young lady, you see a young man to ask you, when you going to work? When you going? That's all you got? You going to get another job? And he ain't got no job. And he just come borrowing from you. You better run with all your... Amen. But I'm going to tell you, see, young ladies get into relationships like this because they be secretly doing stuff. The devil going to set you up. You think he love you. Give him a little time. You think he love you. Once he got you, and especially got you isolated from everybody, you just, and your head just. That's when he pull out pots and pans and threatening you and all kind of other stuff. And you're like, oh, Lord, I wasn't signing up for this. Yeah, uh-huh. You were warned. You just overstepped the boundaries. That's all. Praise the Lord. I told you last week, don't you go down in Egypt and get nobody. Don't go down to Egypt. That's what God told. Don't you head to Egypt for nothing. I know Egypt is all established. It looked like things going to be easy. Here you got a famine out here. Ain't no famine down in Egypt. Boy, they eating good. Don't you go. You might start off eating good. But because you there, famine coming. Hallelujah. I was saying something, and I forgot my thought. I'm trying to get you to see that we need to identify who we are. You know, just like John could identify himself, then we got to come to a spot we identify who we are. Now, I made a comment a little earlier about, you know, you can't really receive all the word unless you are already all the word. Now, that's one that you can post. I'm giving you permission to post that. You can't receive all the word unless you're already all the word. Oh, my God. My God, my God. Let me read two things for y'all. This is out of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the last quote on your page that I gave you. It says this. He says, we've had years now. There hasn't been too much done, but I truly believe that we're entering into the greatest time this world has ever seen. I certainly believe that there is coming a time, and it's at hand now, of God going to make itself manifested, the greatest he's ever done in all ages. Y'all going to be a part of that. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to be a part of what God, this is the greatest thing God ever done in all the ages, and you are a part of it. My God. It says, this is the ending up of time, of the time. Time will be no more one of these days. We come out of eternity. Step into a little time space here and step out of time back into eternity. We was before there was a world. Oh, my God. Think about it. We was before there was a world. Then we come into the world and we got out of the world back into the unknown to us now. Oh, my. That's a powerful statement. Yeah, but now, you know, when you start talking about the world that I come from, I can identify with it. You know, I can identify, amen, with Satan being kicked out of heaven. You know why? Because I was there to see him kicked out. Oh, God. Right. I mean, as a Christian, there's a lot of things I can identify with. And I'm going to tell you, let me put it this way. As an American, you got to be identified with her glory and her shame. You got to be identified. Oh, my God, my God. Whether you like the president or not, you still identified. Whether you voted or not, you still identified. Ain't no sense in rioting now. You an American, you ought to be identified with her glory and with her shame. Oh, hallelujah. You identify with George Washington and what he did. You identify with Abraham Lincoln and what he did. Amen. You identified with every last one of them and what they did. Whether good or bad, you still identify because you are an American. Well, if I'm a Christian, then I'm going to be identified with everything I see in the Bible. I'm identified with them Hebrew boys that went down into that fire, and I can see my God with the angels walking before him,
One would say, I'll go down there and I'll take some water and I'll shut the fire down. God said, no, one would. I don't want you to go. And maybe Michael stand up or Gabriel stand up and Gabriel say, I'll do this and I'll do that. No, Gabriel, I don't want you to go. Where they say, Lord, what you going to do? I'm going myself. And that's why the Bible say they put three men inside. But when they looked, they saw a fourth man. And the fourth man looked like he was the Son of God. I'm identified with that. I'm identified with Christ going to Calvary and dying for my sins. I'm identified with my brothers being locked in prison and coming out. Hallelujah. I'm identified with Joseph running from Potiphar's wife. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm identified with these. I mean, everybody in Scripture, I'm identified with them. I'm identified with Mary bringing her alabaster box and pouring it on Jesus. I'm identified with these people. If we're Christians, we got to be identified with everybody in the Scripture. Hallelujah. I'm identified with John the Baptist standing right there and saying, no, I'm not he. He wasn't lying. I was there. I'm telling you, I was there. He was not lying. They were trying to trick him. But he had to know that right answer to give them, and he did give them the answer, just the one that they weren't looking for. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm identified with that. Hallelujah. I'm also identified with Malachi 4 that say he'll send, amen, Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he'll turn our hearts, amen, back to the faith of the Father, because we come out of the womb kind of like, what in the world is this? See, we come from another world. And when we entered here, we had to kind of figure some things out. But it was the word that began to come in our direction, remind us of who we were. That's why I had to stop sinning, because I came in contact with the word. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Let me go on to this. I want to also just share something else with you. You can't come to this word, accept all this word, unless you already were all the word. Look at this, an invisible union of the bride of Christ. Look at this. It's invisible. Invisible. I think that's what I was saying before. It's an invisible union, not something that everybody going to know about. It's invisible. But yet it's a union that took place right here on the earth. We go to the marriage supper. All right, listen. This statement says, hallelujah. Now notice, you're not only that, but you're going to the wedding in the sky, or the wedding supper, right? You're going to the wedding in the sky, and you are wearing the wedding band of predestinated, unmerited grace. A wedding band of grace unmerited of your own. God did it himself. He knew you before the foundation of the world, so he slipped. My God, he slipped the wedding band on you there, put your name on a book. What a thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Did you catch it? Before I even came to this earth, I was already married. I was spoken for. Oh, my. That's why them people couldn't get a hold of me. I mean, they couldn't understand why. I was different because I was spoken for. Man, I had a wedding band of grace already slipped on my hand. So when I came in contact with the word, I could easily identify with it, because that's where I came from. That's where I came from. That's what I'm talking about. You know how many of us have stumbled around churches for years trying to find the right church? Everybody trying to find the right church. And let me just put it this way, the perfect church. You won't find that one. I'm going to tell you why you won't find that one. It's one reason why you won't find the perfect church. I got to tell you why. You ready to hear, Brother Josue? The reason they won't find the perfect church is because they walked in. Because you walked in, that's when the church stopped being perfect. Ain't none of us perfect. The only perfect one among us is Jesus Christ. So stop looking for the perfect church. Amen. But look for a church that's going to feed your soul and tell you who you are in Christ. Woo!
Man, that wedding band, Unmerited Grace, was slipped on my finger before I was even born. My husband had already put it on there, and it, I was spoken for. That's why this, you know, them young men come to the young sisters trying to act like they got game. Let me holler at you. And she's telling you better get lost. That's because she's spoken for. Same thing about a young man, you know, maybe some young lady trying to holler at him. Let me get your digits. So, no, I ain't giving up my digits. Or I give my church telephone number. Call this number right here. 561-434-6400. This don't seem like a normal. Oh, yeah, it'll work. It'll work. Call that number right there. Tell them what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Because we were spoken for before we even came. See, in order to go back to God, you had to come from Him. And let me just I got a couple things that I want to read, and then we're gonna slip over into something else. My God, my God, my God. Yeah, this is a good one. Palmer worm, locust, cankerworm, caterpillar. Then the reason I'm reading this is because this helps you identify who you are. When I grew up in church, they never read things like this to me. I had no idea who I was. But now I got understanding, I got clarity of who I am. I come from God, I'm going back to God. Look at this. There was one time before the foundation of the world, I was eternal. There was one time before the foundation of the world, I was eternal. When God thought of me, Lord, I tell you, that's something powerful to me. I was eternal. See, what happens is that I stepped out of eternity, and then I came down into time, and I'm like, wait, what is time? What is this? What is this time thing? Because I was eternal. Oh, my God. And it's not just me. That's you, too. When Jesus made those comments, when he said that, say, I come from God, I'm going. Say, he came out of eternity. Step down into time. He had one thing to do when he came down here. One thing. That was to go to the cross. And it took him 33 years to do that. I don't know how long it's going to take for us to get accomplished what God put us on the earth to accomplish. But I'm going to tell you this much. When I'm finished with what God wants me to do, I'm going back to eternity. I'm not from here, y'all. I am a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm passing through. And I had to. Oh, my God. Do you understand? I had to work certain places in order to bump into eternity. Oh, my God. You want to know why we got connected? Because we both from eternity. Everybody don't come. I mean, people I don't work with don't come to church, but some of them do. Because we eternal beings that we connected like that. No, you didn't get invited here. You didn't get invited. Yeah, that's not the way this works. Right, just, you know, it's an invitation. Can I tell y'all something about a wedding? Y'all bear with me. My mind is all over the place today. My mind, there is scripture in Matthew 22 where, let's read it. Let's read it. Maybe this just kind of helped settle some things. Matthew 22. Jesus likens his second coming to a wedding in many places here in Scripture, but let's just kind of read this in Matthew 22. Then I'm going back to that quote. Lord, look at this. Verse 1, Matthew 22 says this. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by a parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen. See, I didn't kill my oxen. right? And my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They're just making all kind of excuses as to why they can't come, right? And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Let's go on. Says, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, as the wedding and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not owned a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him to the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I was in Tennessee last year, and Brother Donnie Reagan was preaching from the scripture, and he made a couple comments that I said, man, I never looked at it like that. Now, these people were bidden to come to the wedding. We saw that in scripture. They were bidden to come, and they made light of it. They didn't come. Some of the others actually destroyed the people that was giving the invitations. I mean, you would think that that would be the preachers and everything that's out giving the invitations and, you know, so on and so forth. They destroyed them, right? And then they get to the point where he's like, you know what? I'm going to destroy all them that didn't want to be a part of this. Now go out into the hedges and highways and just get whoever would want to come. Get them, because I done killed all my animals and I got this celebration set and I want them to be here. Now I need you to understand that that scripture that we just read was not for the bride. I didn't get no amens. That's okay. Just stay right there. That wasn't for the bride. It wasn't for the bride. You want to know why? Because the bride don't get invited to her own wedding. They come in to see the bride get married. But that wasn't for the bride. That was for the guests of the bride. The bride is the one that's getting married. She sends out the invitations. She's not coming on an invitation. She sends out the invitation. Oh, my God. See, it's time for us to recognize who we are. Right? Amen. Jesus already, I told you, the marriage already took place. Right? And here, when the marriage takes place, here you sit down. I mean, I could actually say the marriage took place before the foundation of the world. That's why you came down here with a wedding band of grace on. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's just powerful to me, y'all. A wedding band of grace. A wedding band of grace. Things you don't even deserve it, but grace gave it to you anyway. All the mistakes that I done made, I don't deserve it, but grace gives it to me anyway. I had the wedding band of grace on before I made the mistake. He could have put me away a long time ago. Oh, my God. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. And one song said he could have let me drown, but instead he took me in. He refused to let me be lost. You know, in the Eastern tradition, when marriages were arranged, and one of the things about an arranged marriage is that sometimes they would arrange the marriage before the children were even born. Before the children were even born, the marriage was already arranged. This boy, the doctor told me I'm going to have a boy. Well, the doctor told us we're going to have a girl. Well, you know, we like your family. And what we want to do is sign a contract that when this boy comes of age, he will marry your daughter. And they said, well, that's exactly what we want. We like your family, too. Everybody seems to be doing all right. You know, we get along very well. So the father's going to sign this contract. John going to marry Sally. They're going to get married. Now, do you realize this? John can be ugly as I don't know what. His features could be just all messed up. You know, whatever nickname they might have for John. Whatever nickname they may have for Sally. Right? Sally, you know, who knows what Sally could be? Big Bone. Y'all get what I'm saying, right? And Sally could look them girls in the eye. Sally, you might want to do something about that, Sally. Sally can look them girls in the eye and say, no, I ain't got to do nothing. Honey, you may have to do something, but I ain't got to do nothing. John, as ugly as he is, I don't care. You want to know why? Because my daddy signed my name to a contract before I was even born. And I'm guaranteed to have me a wife. I use it like that because that's the way it is with Christ. No matter how ugly we are with our sin, no matter how ugly things get with our sin, our name has already been placed on contract. Our name was placed in the Lamb's Book of Life, the eternal section. And there's nothing I could ever do that would get my name erased. I know who I am, church. Let me go back to this quote. I'm going to try to ease out of here somewhere. There's so much more to be so much more to be said. Another scripture real quick. Luke 12, verse 35 and 36. Another scripture that speaks of the wedding. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. When you look at scriptures like that, that's not talking about the bride. Why? Because the Lord is returning from the wedding. That means the bride and the Lord already got married. But you got to understand about marriage. A husband and wife have made it their business to get married. Always at the wedding, they invite guests to come, and always. At most weddings that I've seen, you're going to always have more guests than you have a bride and a groom. That means when we're talking about the bride, the numbers get real small. So oftentimes when you're looking for Jesus, you ain't going to find him in great crowds. Always, the guests will always outnumber the bride. Always. Oh, my God, my God, my God. The guests always outnumber the bride. I just picked up one of those notes from Brother Donnie there. Another note that he said, and when you look at the guest book and you see all the people that have signed their name, man, it's just a blessing to be able to see all them names on your guest book. Man, this one came, that one came, and they brought me a gift, and they did that. So I'm so glad about that. I'm so happy about that. But, you know, the guest book just tell you who came. But their names, those that names that on the guest book will never be on the marriage license. Because it wasn't about the guests, but it was about the bride. Let me finish this quote. There was one time before the foundation world, I was eternal. When God thought of me, I was thought of before the foundation of the world. I'm not a mistake.
Y'all stop. Whoever told y'all, oh, we didn't mean for you to be born. You might not have meant it. But you sure weren't doing nothing to stop it. You might not have meant it. But God meant it. And I'm here now. Praise the Lord, somebody. Say, listen. When God thought of me, I was thought of before the foundation of the world. My name was put in the Lamb's book of life, and so was yours before there was even one grain of sand. How many knows that's the Bible? How many knows that God put your name in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world? Then in God's thinking, we were born right then into his kingdom. And one day there came a body. Through a holy wedlock, my father and mother, and they sired me, right? Begot, right? They sired me, and here I come, William Branham, represented in a body of flesh. Now, you know me as William Branham, a man. God know me as William Branham, a thought in his own mind and an expression. Put your name there. Right? Don't put William Branham's name there. Put your name there. Amen. You might know me as Jack Duff, but God knows me as a thought in his own mind and an expression. I had to come from God, come down and bump into eternity down here so we can go back to eternity. And I just stepped in just for a little bit of time. I don't know how much time I got. It's over 33 years. It's over 40 years thus far. God has given me that much time. But when my time is up, I'm going back to eternity. Oh, my God. And let me tell you something. My God don't believe in divorce. No matter what the condition is, he'll never get rid of me. I may fail him, but and he's never failed me. I may fail him, but he still ain't getting rid of me. Woo! Jesus! What a mighty God we serve. All right, let me break into a couple things here. As I was just reading here in the book of John, oh, glory. John was, they were trying to get him to be a little jealous of Jesus because his church started emptying out as soon as Jesus came. Ain't that a good thing? That when Jesus come to church, your church empties out. That he taking control of most of the people, right? I mean, I think that's a great thing. Nowadays, people get upset. Well, who is this that's coming and taking? That's Jesus. He took all your members. But here, John was telling him, says, verse 26 in John 3 says, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth. And look at it. All men come to him. John asked and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So this ministry that I got, God gave this to me. Right? That's what John trying to say. God gave me this. And he says, look, yet yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and beareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, John had a very specific purpose. His purpose for coming to earth, and if you would, if you studied his life, John's ministry only lasted about 6 months. Right? 6 months. God used his ministry to introduce Christ. And then after Christ came on the scene, John moved off the scene. Praise the Lord. That's what happened in scripture. Now that happened at the first coming, right? When John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that happened at the first coming. But God had another, amen, ministry that he used in this day to introduce the second coming. And remember, Brother Branham was out there baptizing.
And when he was baptizing, the angel Lord came down upon the ward, and everybody that was there, they heard, you know, as John the Baptist foreran my first coming, your ministry or your message will forerun my second coming. Right. So here this thing was spoken and people are hearing it, you know, that were there being baptized. Everybody here said, man, what is this? And God is using this man's ministry to get us ready for the second coming of the Lord. Just like he used John the Baptist's ministry to get them ready for the first coming of the Lord. He used another person anointed with the spirit of Elijah to get them ready for the second coming of the Lord. That's why I'm always saying, Brother Branham said, that ministry was identified by God, sent by God to get us ready. Now, it's not to exalt him. It's to exalt Christ. Because John decreased, amen, and Christ increased. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Same thing. God don't change the way he do things. We can just walk through scripture and show you why these things in place. You know, people are like, well, why you do this? Why you do this? Man, I'm doing exactly what the Bible was doing. It's because we're just not used to these things. We got our traditions and things that we've done for years, and all that's fine. But when it get away, when we don't understand the word, we need to get rid of it. Amen. Now stay with me here, because I want to just kind of share a couple of things with you. John said that when they were trying to get him to get a jealousy spirit, John says, "Now you yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him." And it says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Amen. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I want to just kind of read you a couple of statements about this friend of the bridegroom. First thing I want you to understand, I was just looking at the Eastern wedding traditions and the feast that they do for Eastern weddings. Because here, you know, with our Western traditions, we don't do things like this. But in the East, you know, they say a wedding in Israel was a joyous occasion, right? Which it's a joyous occasion here in America as well. But they said a wedding in Israel was a joyous occasion that could last as long as a week. The wedding could actually go on for an entire week. What am I saying there? God has been uniting with his bride for an entire week. And what I mean, 7 days completes a week. Hallelujah. And what I'm saying is God has been uniting with his bride through 7 church ages. That's what that chart is all about. Going through 7 churches. But we live in the worst age of it all. The darkest one, Laodicea, which means people's rights. That's where we live. But God promised to send a messenger into Laodicea to get the people ready. Do you know the condition of the church in Laodicea? They'll be blind. They'll be wretched. They'll be miserable. They'll be naked. The sad part is that they won't even know it. They'll feel like they're rich and have need of nothing. Glory to God. And you tell me the church ain't rich today. Got money like crazy. And got a new program for you to give to. They got it. They got another building. And another building. And another building. Praise the Lord, church. This is the way things are going. But the church is filthy rich. It's a big business. It's not about souls. Hallelujah. People go to church, and especially some of these big churches, they do not get saved. They are not. I know they walk to the altar, but they didn't get saved. Because they're still doing the exact same thing they was doing before they went to the altar. So they did not repent. They did not get saved. Stay with me. So a seven-day period, amen, a wedding could last, and that's exactly what's been going on through the 7 church ages. Christ has been uniting with his bride through the 7 church ages. Amen. Another thing that happened, I said this to you earlier, parents of both the groom and the bride in the Eastern culture, the marriage plans included 3 distinct stages. The first was the arrangement, and parents could make the arrangements for the marriage of their children before their children were even born. My, if they could do that in the Eastern traditions, I know right now, you know, some of us is like, I hope my mom and daddy wouldn't choose my mate before I was born. My God, I'm glad he chose me before I was born. Another thing that happens here, the betrothal contract, right?
if they're going to become engaged and all that, then there's a contract that has to be signed. And for the betrothal contract, the father of the groom selected a deputy to act as the friend of the bridegroom. Oh, my God. The father of the groom selects a he selects a person. He chooses who he wants to act as a friend of the bridegroom. What happens? The deputy and the father proceeded to the prospective bride's home, where the father of the bride had also selected a deputy or another daughter to act in his behalf. Wait a minute. Look at this. Amen. The deputy and the father proceeded to the prospective bride's home, where the father of the bride and also selected a deputy or another daughter to act in his behalf. The details of the dowry and the character of both the soon-to-be bride and the groom would be discussed. At the conclusion of the negotiations, a contract was signed with copies for each party. It stipulated the portion of the dowry to be paid to seal the betrothal contract and the fulfilling portion to be given during the wedding feast. It also set the date of the wedding feast, which was most often months or even years in the future. When this was completed, refreshments were served as each party congratulated the other and extolled the character of both the groom and the bride. Now, I was reading something else, and they say, now, sometimes the young man would be the one to go and actually present this contract. And after he would present the contract, the young lady, he would actually set a cup of wine for the young lady. And if she would drink the wine, it said that she agreed to marry that young man. Now, this would, I mean, they would go, and the other thing about this, that as they would go, and once the thing was sealed, once she accepted the terms and the conditions and all that, I mean, this was a contract, and you couldn't get out of a contract. Amen. Once you signed, if you tried to break this, this engagement was so strong that if you tried to break it, I mean, it would take a legal process to get you out of this. It was strong. Once you said that you was going to marry her, it might take 2 years. Now, I'm going to tell you what the young man had to wait on before he could actually go get this young lady. That young man would have to go to his daddy's house, and he'd have to build a room on the daddy's house. And when he built this room, he had to build it according to the father's specifications. It wasn't based on the boy's specifications, because he's going to throw that thing up real quick. I'm trying to get myself a wife. But his daddy said, no, you can't just have no junk here, son. You got to tear that down and redo this. And you got to do that because, son, my name is on this, right? So you got to do this thing just right before we bring that young lady here. Oh, my, we need to ask some more daddies like that. Son, do you have a job? Do you have benefits, son? Amen. Are you taking care of your own bills? You can't take care of your own bills. You sure can't take care of nobody else's bills. Amen, right? I mean, that daddy made sure that boy was properly prepared before he would go get that girl. And that daddy would check that house out. He would check the little room out, say, okay, 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 okay. After son done everything that he asked him to do, and he'd say, okay, now, son, you can go. And the good thing about this is that as people would see the boy building that house, and see, this is what Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he said. I go to prepare a place for you. So as they would see him building the house, you know, they would say, now look like it's ready. You ready to go? Say, no, only my daddy know when it's ready to go. Do you remember Jesus actually saying that as far as the second coming, only the Father knew when he would come? Amen. Oh, my God. It's a wedding, y'all. It's a wedding. We actually already involved in it. Hallelujah. Here, you know, the boy have to sit there and wait. And when his daddy says, son, it's okay. Now you go get that young lady and you bring her. And when he go, and man, they have a great festivity and people dancing and singing and shouting. And boy, he just running there to go get his wife to bring her back. And the thing of it is, he always go get her and bring her back. Now, there's two things that I read there. One of them is that, you know, the marriage would have to be consummated in the house of her father. And then after it was consummated in the house of her father, then they would bring him back. Now, if you go back to Deuteronomy 22, just read it for yourself. You'll understand why that had to happen. Amen. Glory to God. Young ladies, I want to tell you, according to Deuteronomy 22, it's good for you to keep yourself till you get married. It's good for you to keep yourself till you get... I know society don't teach us that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Society might not teach you, but the Bible do teach you. Keep yourself till you get married. Young man, do the same thing. Keep yourself till you get married. Don't be running around with everybody. You're bringing all kind of stuff into the marriage with you. You don't need to do that. Keep yourself till you're ready to get married. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But, you know, here, you know, in Deuteronomy 22, you go back and read it. They talk about the tokens of virginity, you know, in there. And that young man, he would, once that young lady had proven that she had kept herself and done all these things, if that young man accused her of not being a virgin and that father was able to produce the tokens of virginity, that young man could never divorce her because he embarrassed her. He could never divorce her. People be looking for all kind of reasons to get out of a relationship. Amen. Man, we got to realize this thing's a contract. It just can't be broken like that. You got to, I mean, your word is your bond. You got to hold to it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's the other thing I want to get to you. Because John the Baptist said that he was a friend of the bridegroom. See, the friend of the bridegroom, he's the deputy that kind of goes and he presents the contract. Say, you know, oh my God. It, you know, hey, this my master got this, my owner got this man, and you know his son, he want to do this, and he gonna give you this, he gonna give you that. You know, will you accept these terms? And when she say yeah, now he goes back and he gives those terms, and watch what happens here in this feast. I'm reading, as the day approached for the wedding feast to commence at the parents of the groom's home, both the father of the groom and the father of the bride would send out invitations and small oil lamps to be lit during the festive occasion. The festivities could include a day which the bride fled into the surrounding hills, requiring her groom to come in and search for her and to return her for the completion of the festival. On the day of the ceremony, the veiled bride would proceed from her family's house, escorted by her attendants, singers, dancers, musicians, and children. Above her would be a canopy with colored cloth streamers fluttering, and whatever breeze there may have been. The procession would move slowly through town, stopping at times to allow the dancers to perform to the music and singing. When they arrived at the groom's parents' house, the bride would be escorted to her mother-in-law's suite. Once the bride was settled, the groom would arrive at the doorway. The groom would gently lift the veil of his bride for his first long-awaited glimpse. The groom would then proclaim his satisfaction for all to hear, to which the friend of the bridegroom, who had sealed the contract, would be very pleased. The groom would return to his attendants and family, where the festivities would continue separately, with the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride being heard by each other. So that friend of the bridegroom, he was the one to get the contract signed. And now because once that contract signed, they don't even see each other. The groom and the bride, they don't even see each other. But when they finally see each other and the groom say, man, I'm well satisfied, I'm well pleased. When the friend of the bridegroom hear that, they say, man, my job has been done. One time, Brother Branham kept having these dreams about going to the public service company. And he just couldn't understand why God kept taking him back having those dreams. He would try to straighten things up and maybe if there was some sin in his life or something like that, he was trying to get the thing all straightened up. And just, Lord, I just don't understand why I keep having this dream. And he said, maybe I was ratting on the job, or I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do on the job. And you know, being a Christian, I should make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing on the job. You know, so maybe I've done that. You know, say, but you know, I don't know why I don't know why I keep having these dreams. So, you know, he was sitting there just kind of debating and going through his mind. And one day the Lord said, well, he just began to think, say, Lord, maybe it's because I haven't been faithful on my job in serving you. What is it that I'm not doing? So he said, Lord, so I need you to speak to me. I done prayed, I done asked you to speak to me. I have no idea why I keep having this dream over and over and over again. God, I need you to speak to me. So he say, Lord, I did something that I'm not going to advise anybody else to do. He says, I prayed to the Lord and said, I just closed my eyes. And I say, Lord, I need you to speak to me out of your Bible. Find me a character in the scripture that will speak directly to my situation. So he closed his eyes and he prayed. He said, now, I don't advise y'all to do this. Don't do this. This is a lack of faith on my part. But he did it. And then he said, Lord, just show me somebody in the Bible that I can identify with. He did it. Opened up to Genesis 24. And when he read Genesis 24, he saw the story of Eliezer. and Eliezer's responsibility. He was a friend of the bridegroom. He had to go down and get a bride for Isaac. Man, he went down, he prayed, he got down. He told Abraham, said, now what if she refused to go with me? What if this bride refused to go with me? He said, if she refused to go with you, don't worry about it. You're out of it. You ain't got to worry about the contract that's been signed. He said, okay. He went down, he started praying, said, Lord, let the young lady that come here to this well and begin to, you know, not only offer me water, but let her offer the camels water. And that was a big job. Those camels drunk a lot of water, but if she would go to that well and offer the camels water, there's something special about this young lady. She got character. He said, man, he said, Eliezer prayed and said, as soon as he said amen, Rebecca come walking up to the well. And when Rebecca came walking up to the well, she said, hey, would you like some water? And what about, can I get some water for your camels? He said, oh, Lord, you done answered my prayer just like that. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. They began to work with it. Went back to her house and start talking to a people about her being married to Isaac and who he was. And he gave her gifts and he did all kind of things to try to get this marriage arranged. And Rebecca, you know, they were trying to keep her. Her daddy was trying to keep her. Her brother was trying to keep her. And her mom was trying to keep her. It was like, no, don't delay me. I got to go right now. And they say, okay, let Rebecca answer for herself. Rebecca, will you go with this man? See, and that this is where the wedding really taking place, is when you come to a place of complete surrender. It was a man she never seen before. The man has only been described by her. She had no idea what he looked like. They ain't got Facebook, FaceTime. They ain't got none of that, right? It's just, I'm going on your word. Based on the character that you're explaining to me, I love this man because of his character. They asked Rebecca, will you go with this man? You know what this means. Rebecca looked over the situation. She said, I will go. I will go. She took off to find her Isaac in church. When they finally saw each other, it was love at first sight. Isaac saw Rebecca. She saw him in the field, and she dropped off the horse and put her veil on. And when he saw her, said, oh, my. Said, man, this is what I've been praying for. I've been waiting on. Now, the key thing about that whole thing is Eliezer, who arranged the whole thing, after Rebecca had come to Isaac, Eliezer moved off the scene. Oh, God. And I'm telling God called this prophet home, off the scene, because he's introduced this bride to her Isaac, which is Jesus Christ. One more quote, and I'll let it go today, because I titled this, Behold the Lamb of God Coming in Glory. The reason I titled it that, out of the Pergamene church age, I'm going to start at paragraph 176-1, Pergamene church age. How can any messenger sent from God believe only a part of the word and deny some of it? The true prophet of God in this last day will proclaim the whole word. Denominations will hate him. Now, this statement that I'm reading here, Brother Branham was told at one time in his ministry, the angel Lord came to visit him and told him, say, I want you to pick up your pen and I want you to begin to write some things that I'm going to tell you. And he began to write, and this is some of the message that the angel had him write. This is actually the closing of that message, so I'm giving that to you. It says, how can any messenger sent from God believe only a part of the word and deny some of it? The true prophet of God in this last day will proclaim the whole word. Denominations will hate him. His words may be harsh as John the Baptist, who called them vipers. But the predestinated will hear and be ready for the rapture. The royal seed of Abraham, with like faith as Abraham's, will hold to the word with him, for they are predestinated together. The last day messenger will appear in God's appointed time. It is the end time now, as all know, for Israel is in the homeland. Any time now he will come according to Malachi. When we see him, he will be dedicated to the word. He will be indicated, pointed out in the word. Revelation 10:7. That's another scripture that promises this ministry. And God will vindicate his ministry. He will preach the truth as did Elijah and be ready for the Mount Zion showdown. Listen, many will misunderstand him because they have been taught scripture in a certain way, which they consider truth. When he comes against that, they will not believe. Even some true ministers will misunderstand the messenger because so much has been called God's truth by
deceivers. But this prophet will come, and as the forerunner of the first coming, the first coming cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Even so will he no doubt cry out, "Behold, the Lamb of God coming in glory." He will do this, for even as John was the messenger of the truth to the elect, so is the one the last messenger to the elect and the word born bride. So that's why I titled it, because we're living in the time, the expectation for the second coming of the Lord. And I want to tell you, behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who comes in glory. God bless you. Let's pray. Glory to God. This prayer that I'm going to pray, and you just keep your heads bowed, I'm actually going to be reading a couple prayers that the prophet prayed out of two different sermons. Just want to read that over you, amen, as we pray. My. Says, prepare us, Lord, that we might be able, a real Christian way, to bring sinners to you, to bring church members to knowing the God that we know, that we have met personally. Let them become their God too. Now, Father, this we cannot do. We cannot send them in, but thou, Holy Spirit, move upon the people, the members of churches. And as the little experience I had with you the other morning, go get my son a bride. Take it from among the people, among the churches. Pull out that bride. Let me in prayer now, Lord. You send the Rebecca. I'll try to be the Eliezer. Help me to be a faithful servant. And may the God of heaven send his angel before me, before us, that we will collect the things together and select the bride that he has chosen. Another statement. But here we are now to see God dwelling among us, showing himself. We're waiting till the rapture. The change that we can see the Son of God coming in glory one of these days. He will never touch his feet on the earth, but we'll be changed and caught up to meet him in the air. As you changed Sarah and Abraham and made them in condition so they could see and receive the promised Son that they waited on, God, I pray that you'll change our mortal bodies one of these days. Like the vision or translation or whatever it was the other night, we'll be caught up one of these days. Change. Lord, I believe it with all that's in my heart. The old will become young, the power of God. One of these days, we'll be sitting in a meeting. Some out in the field, some grinding at the mill, and all of a sudden, there'll be a scream from heaven. Behold, the bridegroom's coming. Then stand under there with our hands in the air and know that we're sons of God and joint heirs with Abraham through Jesus Christ, the royal seed. Know that the same signs that was done there to Abraham, we see it done today and promised by Jesus Christ. As it was in Sodom, so shall it be. Before Sodom was burned, the world be burned again. And before burning the second time, the same thing will occur again. And Lord, may I add, God, as before that took place, before Sodom was destroyed, you had a visitation with Abraham and his wife. God, let that visitation come, Lord, amongst the people here today, the bride of Jesus Christ for this day. As I spoke, Lord, the church or the guests will always be more than the bride. But God, if we're looking for you, we'll find you in small, humble places. We'll hear your voice speak to us. We might hear some things that we've never heard before. But God, let our hearts be open that you might draw us, that you might call us, that you might bring us near. Father, we trust that we would realize that we come from you and we are going back to you. There's purpose, Lord, for our coming together here on this earth. There's purpose. There's a reason why we connect with one another. There's a reason for that. Because we're eternal thoughts of God. We can be nothing else.
thank you for your word that has been preached in this place today. May it bring forth fruit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. My church, this is a very serious time in which we live. Very serious time. God's not playing games anymore in church, and he's doing all he can to reach the attention of his bride. It's time to go home. Okay. We got a prayer request here that we want to just remember. Brother Josue is just saying he was able to find Brother Elvis. It says he's asking the church to keep him in prayer. He feels ashamed of the way he is living. And the way he was living in, and what's that? Going to send a prayer out for Brother Elvis. You know, when God was there in the flesh of a man talking with Abraham, and Sarah was laughing in the tent, and he was able to actually tell Abraham, I heard Sarah laughing. And Sarah was like, no, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh. Said, no, Sarah, I heard you. I know that you were laughing. I know that you were laughing. If you were carefully read scripture, you also realize that when he first told Abraham, Abraham laughed as well, right? And but there God was in the flesh talking, you know, with them, and Sarah laughed, and he's like, no, Sarah, don't laugh. You know, this promise that I made you is sure. And before he left Abraham, he told him, say, Abraham, shall I not, you know, reveal, or shall I hide it from you what I'm getting ready to do? And he said, you know, he's like, he come to just kind of show Abraham that, hey, I'm going down into Sodom, and we heard that Sodom is in a certain condition, and we're going to have to destroy this place. So as the two angels had left to go to Sodom, when Lot saw him, he said, my lords, you know, when they approached him, he said, my lords. When Abraham saw all three, Abraham said, my lord, because he knew it was only one God, right? Not two or three. Right, just one. So when Lot, some said, my lords, and Lot pulled them in, and here come the men of the city trying to bring those men out to have relations with them. It was really, really sad what was going on down there in Sodom. But he began to reveal to Abraham and say, I'm going down to investigate what's going on in Sodom. And saying, if it is what I've heard it is, that place is going to get destroyed. And Abraham began to pray. Say, Lord, you know, peradventure there'd be 50 righteous people there. Would you destroy the whole city for 50 righteous people? Say, no, if it's 50, I won't destroy. He said, God, what about 45? If it's 45, I won't destroy. What about 40, Lord? If it's 40, I won't destroy. Lord, don't get upset. What about 30? If it's 30, I won't destroy. 20, Lord, 20. If it's 20, I won't destroy. He said, God, this is the last time I'm going to ask you. I will not ask you any more questions. Say, what about 10? If it's 10 in that city that's righteous, will you destroy the whole city? And there's 10 righteous people. He said, if I could find 10 righteous in that city, I won't destroy. I wonder how many righteous God would find in our city today. But as Abraham's seed, we have a responsibility to do the same thing Abraham did. We begin to pray. We begin to ask God to have mercy. And we want to have prayer for Brother Elvis. And we're going to ask God to have mercy. We're going to send a word of prayer, amen, for him. Those things that he might be ashamed of, God is able to wash them in his blood. And I want to say to you today, if you got some things that you're ashamed of, God is able to wash it in his blood. All he wants you to do is surrender to him. Just give him your heart. Give him your all. Let's pray. Father, we come on behalf of Brother Elvis. We're so happy to hear that one of the brothers was able to reach him. He's been dodging everybody else, God, but he couldn't get away from that, from this one. And Father, that means there's something in his heart where he wants to be right. So we send a word of strength, a word of encouragement, God, to our precious brother, that it would raise him up, Lord, from the condition that he's in, that he realized that no matter what he's done, he still belongs to you. God, that you would bring Brother Elvis from the fields of sin. Satan, we serve notice on you right now. We command you to loose his mind, loose him and let him go, that he would come forth from his condition and that he would come back into fellowship with the believers, recognizing by revelation there is nothing against him. The blood of Jesus Christ makes him clean. So, Father, may that revelation get to his heart. And Lord, as he begins to realize that he begins to stand up and walk in, amen, the freedom and the liberty that you have given him. Oh, God, we believe, Lord Jesus, that this is his year of jubilee. So, God, may he be set free. God, is our prayer. And if there's any others that are here, God, that, oh, Father, that might feel that they're bound and don't see, Father, a way to get back close to you. God, I pray that you would just minister to their hearts and right now let them know that wedding band was placed on their finger before they were even born, before they even made a mistake. That wedding band was placed on their finger. You're already married to them and you will never, never divorce them. God, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for who you are. And God, we thank you for also letting us to realize who we are. The bride of Jesus Christ. The virtuous, sinless, spotless bride of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Solomon, would you come and, amen, lead us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of his servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore. So we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation come. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of his servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields all white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Praise the Lord.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Body shout, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Come on, saints, shout, oh. Oh, oh. One more time, shout, oh. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? 'Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? 'Cause I take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you to see his glory, 'cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? 'Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. Live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads if you will. Heavenly Father, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, to hear you, Lord, once again point out, Lord, that we should know who we are. Father God, we are not just servants. We're part of the heavenly bride, Lord. And we're so grateful for that predestinated band that you placed on us, Lord. We're standing here because you called us. You drew us to this place, Lord. And Father, we're so grateful. Now, Father God, I ask, Lord God, that you water the word that we've heard this morning, Lord God, and may it bring forth fruit. Lord God, bless your people, Lord, as we leave this place. Father, be with us throughout this day and throughout our pilgrim journey, Lord. And may we always rejoice in you as we surrender to you always. We love you, Father. We ask that you bring us back at the appointed time, Lord. Keep us all safe and out of harm's way. We commit our lives to you now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats, and our brethren will come dismiss you at this time. God bless you, saints.